the greatest giver. Yes. Yes, he is. Turn the book of Proverbs with me tonight, chapter 3. Go to verse number 5. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you'd anoint the messenger as your word goes forth. Your promise in Scripture is that it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto you've sent it. The seed is perfect and the seed is good. The issue is never with the seed. The issue is the one who gives it and the one who receives it. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Be seated for a moment. I'll speak to you for a few minutes. Now, all of you, I'm sure, are aware of this. Some of you possibly might not be, but I find that hard to believe, that this past Sunday, a demon-possessed madman went into a church in Texas and shot to death 26 people. And I don't know what the figure is, 15, 20 were injured. I don't know how many are still in the hospital. But it gained national attention quickly because it was the greatest massacre to take place inside a church house in the history of Texas and the history of the country. So it goes into that list of superlatives that we've seen happen this year over and over and over and over. Greatest hurricane, most people killed, greatest this, greatest earthquake, this, that, over and over and over again, all of these superlatives. And here we are now in Texas, and 26 people shot to death. There was a mother in Texas who had three children, I think it's three, and she loved her children dearly. And she had said time and again that she would die for her children. And when this monster came into that church and started going from aisle to aisle, shooting people, shooting little children indiscriminately, he came to her. She covered her children with her body, and he shot her, and she died, and two of her children died. She was doing everything she could to protect them, and I think one lived. And of course, you all have read the stories, too, and you know what went on in there, the screaming and the crying, and it was, I don't know of a worse horror on the face of this earth that could have been in there. You just can't imagine what it would have been like to be in there. But now, I would say to any young woman right now, to a young teenage girl, there's your role model. That's a hero. That's a real hero. Not somebody that's being paid millions of dollars to run up and down a field and play a game. That's not a hero. And that's not a role model. Because you're looking at courage and love. And I mean real courage and real love. And that's the kind of thing that should inspire you. Because this is set in contrast to a coward. See, this man is a coward. When he went outside and a man confronted him with a weapon, you know, so he comes up against somebody that's armed like he is. He jumps in his vehicle and he takes off and he calls his dad while he's on the way. And he's fleeing for his life. And he says, and it's almost unbelievable to put it in context. He says to his dad, I don't think I'm going to survive. And I think to myself, what difference does it make, man? You just murdered 26 people. You died back there. You're not going to survive. You cannot take human life like that and think you'll ever live again. You won't do it. You're not going to live. You may exist, but your existence will be as a dead man. But in any event, what followed that is a lot of uncertainty, and the people down there, they're praying and they're trying to find answers, and they're They're looking to each other for strength and comfort, and that's all good. And they need all the comfort they can get. They need all the prayers they can get. And a lot of people are pouring their hearts out to them, and they're pouring out love and compassion for them. And that's good. That's the way it ought to be. It's just horrendous. But immediately the question comes up in the national media. Well, if a God of love, if he's a God of love and he's a sovereign God, why would he let anything like that happen? The question always arises, usually by the same people who are pushing for more gun control. You need to be reminded, folks, that it was a good man with a gun that stopped a bad man with a gun. If that good man with a gun had not been there, no telling how many more people he would have killed. That's fact. So a good man with a gun stopped a bad man with a gun. And it's a shame that either one has to have a gun. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world with peace, that you don't have to lock your doors at night? We had a brother here, he's a brother in our church right here. They broke into him this past Sunday, robbed him blind. That's the world we live in. It's full of thieves and murderers. That's the reality of it. This is why I quote you Luke chapter 22 all the time, when the Lord said, go buy a sword, buy a sword. Arm yourself. And of course it is all across the country. They've been doing surveys now in churches everywhere. They have guards and they have surveillance systems and the people are armed and all of that. That's a shame, isn't it? There was a time in our country when they left the church doors open 24 hours a day. You could go there any time you wanted to and you could pray. It's wake up call tonight. Something's happened in America. How many of y'all agree with that tonight? Something has happened in this country. And I'm afraid the people that caused this to happen, the Darwinians, the ones who are producing these atheists, and this man goes into this church and he's using all kinds of blasphemous four-letter words, and he's been preaching on the internet, on his Facebook page and so forth, that he's an atheist. Of course, he's not now, but he's been preaching that he's an atheist. You know, it doesn't take a second after you leave this world before you find out there's another world, and you're not welcome. If you're an atheist, you're not welcome. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. But he's preaching his atheism. Where'd that come from? See, while the church let this stuff seep in under the guise of education, the school system's full of it. They get our kids and brainwash them. They teach them that it's scientific, and it's not scientific. Henry Morris spent his whole lifetime debunking atheism, along with a lot of other men. And Henry Morris was a scientist and fully capable and well qualified to do it. Spent his whole lifetime debunking atheism. But in any event, that's what they're fed. And so the people down there have to go on now. And, you know, it wiped out 8 members of one family. And, you know, it's a little old town, 400 or 500 people. You get 25 or 30 people die, you've wiped out a big portion of the town. What a thing, man. Here these poor people are going to church on a Sunday morning, and a monster walks in and he starts killing them. What a thing. Just let the gravity of it settle in for a minute. They went to a house of worship to talk to the Lord. In one case, when this monster came around the corner and he was aiming his weapon at one of the Christians in there, the Christian that was with her said, "It's okay, we're going to heaven now." They both knew he was going to shoot him. "It's okay, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven." Now that's the kind of thing right there that inspires me. We're going to heaven today. You see, he couldn't take that away from them. Don't fear him that can destroy the body. Yea, I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen. If you ever had any doubt in your mind that there's a hell and a reason for a hell, you just saw it Sunday. Okay? You just saw it. There's a lot of different reasons for hell, but that's one of the primary right there. One of the primary reasons. So what do you do? How do you go on with your life? What would you tell these people down there in Texas if, say, you ran into them, or they're members of your family, extended family, or your friends? Or what would you tell them if they said to you, "I don't want to live. I have no purpose in life now. Everything I've got's gone. And I tried to live for God, and why did he let that happen to me?" What would you tell them? You see, this is what gets down to the rubber meeting the road. The Scripture says, lean not to thine own understanding. God's going to do things that we don't understand. And we have to come back to the square one, and we have to either believe in the sovereignty of God, that He's going to work it for right and work it for good, and there's a reason in it, and God will glorify Himself through it, or we don't. Because if we don't come back to square one and deal with the issue, it's going to haunt us and it's going to eat like a cancer at our soul. And it'll eat your faith up. And then you may live in a shell for the rest of your Christian life and put on a facade. And you know, this is the outward person people see on Sunday, but the real man or the real woman died. Their faith's dead. You say, well, anybody like that? Oh, yes, there are plenty of people like that. Plenty of people like that. You have to come down to this simple fact. Things are going to happen that have no explanation. That's why it says, lean not to thine own understanding. Human understanding is incapable of grasping the sovereign God and His will, which is so much higher than ours. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, I don't have anybody lying dead down there in Texas. I didn't lose a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter or a brother or sister. It's awfully easy, like these liberals in the country have been going on bad-mouthing some of the things that went on in Texas. I marvel at their arrogance, you know. I wonder what they would have done had they been in that building that day. So easy to run your mouth. But you see, this applies to me too. It applies to me too. I didn't lose anyone in Texas. You know, I can stand up tonight and I can give you out what the Scripture says. But what if it did happen to me, or what if it happened to you? What if it came to our home? How would we deal with it? Could we live with it? You say, well, preacher, I could live with it if I could take care of it and get it straightened up. No, sometimes you can't straighten it up. Sometimes you can't do anything that's going to change what happened. And you can't do anything to bring justice to the issue. What justice was done? His life wasn't worth the lives of 26 people. You agree? How many agree with that? So he's dead, but his life is not worth 26 people. You see what I mean? That's not justice. Justice will come when the judge judges. That's what the Great White Throne's about. Justice will come one day when the judge judges. So I'm going to give you a few things tonight. And Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Meditate on that. Jeremiah said, I know that I'm incapable of living my life and living it right. Isn't that something? In other words, I need the direct hand, the sovereign hand of God. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He'll direct you. See, you can't direct yourself. You can't do it. And of course, there's a lot of reasons for that. We don't have time all that tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24 said, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? See, how can I even understand? And so many things make no sense, do they? They make no sense. They're not going to make any sense. Not going to make any sense. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, our God, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And that's the key. Keep your eyes upon the Lord, and there'll be comfort for you. You may not get much comfort right off the bat, but there will be comfort if you keep your eyes on the Lord. Psalm 89, verse 26 says, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Amen. When you turn from him, if you get mad at God, and I guess all of us do it one time or another, to one degree or another, we might get a little mad at God, angry with him, burned out or something. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Where are you going? That's why Peter said, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere to go. That's a message in itself. All the places you could go. And there's nowhere to go. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Psalm chapter number 18, verse number 2, talks about the Lord being our rock. It said, He's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Amen. He's called the rock a lot of times in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 15 says that they had water from the rock of Flint. Water came out of the rock. You have to have water to live. Exodus chapter number 33, verse 22. The Bible says that God hid Moses in the cliff to the rock. He hid him. God's a good God. Somebody said, I want to see His glory. You ready to go? If you're ready to take the full glory of God in tonight, see you later. You won't make it. You can't look on that glory yet. We will see it, but not here in this flesh. There is no way. Moses took the idea of the rock and he used it as a symbology, a symbol. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Moses called God the rock. Amen. And verse number 13, he said, He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. My, it's an amazing thing, don't you think? Water from a rock, oil from a rock, honey from a rock. I didn't know rocks produced oil, honey, and water. Isn't that amazing? For who is God save the Lord, Jehovah? And who is a rock save our God? 2 Samuel chapter number 22 and verse 32. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Now the Lord God is our rock, and He's the rock of our salvation. And when you begin to think about this, because this in one sense can be used as what we call a metaphor. So what's a metaphor? A metaphor is something that gives a light on something else. That's what it means. For, alongside of something, it sheds light on it. In other words, it's a type of it, an illustration of it. So the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock of my salvation. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 2. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's no more beautiful words in the English language than you just heard. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah chapter number 28, verse number 16. The Apostle Paul quotes this in Romans 9. And here's what it says in Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now the Apostle Paul quotes this in Romans 9, verse 33, and watch the little change in the way he quotes it. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, when he said a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, here's what it says back there where he quoted in Isaiah 28. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In plainer words, the rock of our salvation that we're standing on, if it is rejected, it becomes a stumbling stone. You can't get around it. In other words, if you reject the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never going to walk straight again the rest of your life. I don't care what you try, where you go, who you know, you'll never have a foundation again for the rest of your life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only foundation there is. And when we stand on Him, that means we can stand on Him and be secure, but we can also stand on Him through the storm. And we can stand on Him for divine protection. Amen. Be fed and sustained from the rock of our salvation. So what does anyone need when they go through the hardest times in life? They need the Lord. They need the Lord. The Apostle Paul quotes that, and he makes it very clear that that this rock is our Lord Jesus Christ. But Yeshurun, Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And this is one of the greatest pitfalls that happens to most Christians. And that is when you're up and coming and you're walking with the Lord and you're humble and you're seeking him and you need him and you know where your food is coming from and the clothes on your back, and he's starting to bring you out of debt and he's getting to where you can, where you think you're standing, then you start prospering and you start turning your back on the one who prospered you. Yeshurun waxed fat, see? And then he lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Didn't need the Lord anymore. Didn't need him anymore. I remember a famous preacher, and I won't give his name out tonight. He's one of my brethren. I love him greatly. But his daughter was married to a man who had a business. And the man he was married to that had the business served the Lord, loved the Lord, lived for the Lord, till his business started prospering. Then his business started prospering. He was making all kinds of money. He just began to drift away from the Lord. His money got between him and God. You ever wonder why some of you can't get two dimes the right time to rub together? I mean, it's from hand to mouth, week to week. You couldn't take a blessing. Can't stand it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There are Abrahams in the Bible, rich. There are Jobs in the Bible, rich, and became richer. But Job not only became richer, he became more spiritual. There are people in this country that you'll never hear about that give millions of dollars for the work of Christ. I've read about them. And they want to retain their anonymity. They don't want you to know who they are because they're doing it for the Lord. And they're promising God, you bless me, I'm going to bless you back. And they give, and they give, and they give. Maybe you'll learn one day the secret of giving, that you can't outgive God. You'll learn that secret. You'll learn, and you'll find out that God is the great abundant supplier who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. You give to him, God will give back to you, because what you gave to him, he gave to you. What do we have that we didn't receive of the Lord? Amen. So, the Bible said, of the rock that beget thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Boy, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? You see, now that they have a rock and we have a rock. They've got a God and we've got a God. Our God is the true and living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their God is the God of this world. He will use them and use them up, and one day he will drop them when they need him the most. The Bible said their rock is not as our rock. Deuteronomy 32:31. Even our enemies themselves being judges. Now think of what's going on here. Think about it. How many people do you think are watching you tonight? I don't know. No, you don't know. But somebody is watching you. It may be your next door neighbor. It may be that fellow you work with. It may be a member of your family. It may be somebody you've wronged in the past or you've done something for in the past. They're watching you. Well, preacher, I believe in preaching. So do I. And if you have to, use words. First time I heard that, I thought, now, what do you mean? Are you saying we don't need to preach verbally? You can scream to high heaven all you want to and make all the noise you want to, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to watch your life more than listen to your words. And if your words match up with your life, then they'll have power. This is why the Bible says in the Old Testament, they let none of his words fall to the ground. See what I'm saying? When the fire of brimstone was about to come down on Sodom and Gomorrah, the great preacher Lot began to preach to his family. You remember Lot? He's preaching to his family. He said, "Now get out of here. Judgment's coming." And the Bible said he sounded as one that mocked. That's why he'd never preached to them before, never had a prayer meeting with them before, never witnessed to them before. And now all of a sudden he's become religious. You see what I mean? I remember my pastor saying years ago, he said, "Shout glory to God, shout all you want to, but walk straight when you hit the floor." That's good old time wisdom. In plain words, if you live right and you're living for the Lord and people know you are, well, they'll shout with you. Amen. Amen. And a good shout's good every once in a while. I know some churches, it scare them to death if somebody shouted or they said amen. But, you know, they can scream their head off over here at this football stadium. Their rock is not as ours. Their vine is the vine of Sodom, fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Clusters are bitter. Wine is the poison of dragons, cruel venom of asp. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand. The things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth their powers gone. And there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? The Lord has a sense of irony. He will say to them one day that have turned their back on the church and on the truth, where are your gods that you trusted? You got your money, you got your health. You got your fame, you got your fortune, you got your friends, but one day you're going to lose all them. Where are your gods? You know what Elijah did at the top of Carmel, don't you? He mocked them. He did. Said, "Where's your God?" Boy, he made them mad. They jumped up and down and they cursed the more and cut themselves and the blood gushed out. "Oh Baal, oh Baal, oh Baal." And Elijah just stood over there like that. Shook his head. "Old Baal can't hear you. Baal's dead. The only thing can hear you is these demons and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're not going to move. Because this is God's day." And they didn't. "Where are your gods?" Hannah prayed this. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." David praised God. 2 Samuel, David spake to the Lord in the words of this song, the day the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies, now the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord Jehovah is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." So I'd say to these poor folks down there in Texas, I hope you're praying for them. I really don't. I'm sure you have. Pray for them. God bless them. Pray for them. They've been through it, and they're going to go through it. It's not over. And I can't make any sense out of it. I can't make a lick of sense out of it. I can't make any sense out of it. But boy, you can see the worst of humanity come out. You can see these political opportunists. You can see them pouncing on that. You can see them using that for their own purposes. Then you can see these so-called comics out here with their little snide remarks. One comic in his snide remark came out and said, "Well, it didn't do any good to pray. Look at all these dead people down there." See? Can you imagine you lost your children and you read what that so-called comic said? Can you imagine? That's cruelty. Now think about it in a minute. You live in a country that is hypersensitive to everything that's said, PC correct. Nobody gets offended in America. You can't offend anybody except a Christian. You're fair game. You see what I mean? You're fair game. And so I don't know what he thought he was going to gain by saying that. But what good did your prayers do? You know, what good did they do? Yes, sir.
I'm thing, they might still get to him just on my mom now. Didn't matter if there was a child, baby, or not.
That's why I said he was demon possessed. Absolutely, brother. You make it, no, I can't. Thank God for the good guy with a gun. Thank God for the good guy with a gun. You better believe it. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. The way he started. Oh, yeah. The more God gave him, the more J.C. Penney gave him back. He increased what he gave him. And God just blessed him that much more. He sure did. Came from nothing and wound up in one of the biggest department stores in the country. He sure did. J.C. Penney was a Christian. No question about it. He wouldn't be open on Sunday either. Well, you know, Jeshurun waxed fat. I talked about that tonight. Amen. I think sometimes with some folks it helps for them to talk about it. And I'm sure down there they're talking and I'm sure they're having prayer meetings and they're meeting and trying to comfort each other. And I'm sure a lot of people are coming, sending information into them to try to help them. And please don't leave them out of your prayers. Keep praying for them. And there's a lot of other issues involved too, because Satan wants to use something like that. Satan wants to use that to destroy the faith of a lot of people. Yes, sir. He wants to use it. He's an opportunist. He's an opportunist. Just like the so-called comic. What comedy is in that? My goodness. I tell you, it's hypocrisy of the highest level. They can say anything in the world about a Christian. But you got to be very careful that you don't offend anybody. See how it works? All right. Why, yeah. The 14-year-old daughter. Their little girl now. Their little girl's gone. Yes, sir.
I told my wife the other night, I said, you know, the thing with the Antipata, and they said that it was going to be doomsday basically on the 4th. And I told her, because of the Christians' prayers, that kind of diminished. But you notice that really not a whole lot happened. I said, that's the power of prayer. And if we can just grasp a hold of that, to know that we can move with our prayers. And Satan got so mad at Christians, I believe, that he used somebody who's weak-spirited, Lord, as a sort of demon, you know, demon-possessed person, to go target Christians because he is mad at us for praying and he's not being able to move and do his will as he wants to do. I said, that's just a sign right there of that happening.
Yeah.
So let's just keep praying.
Well, sure, there's a lot of things. Like I said tonight, you know, you can't make sense of it. Sure, there's a lot of plausible things. Could be a lot of things interacting together. A lot of different things happening at the same time. A situation like that.
I just think of all the Christians that were praying against that.
Sure.
I believe that's what really stopped that.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of people that hate Christ, believe it or not. They hate the Lord Jesus.
Let's not forget the people that control the things that go on in this country. They know that us as Christians are praying against those kind of things, so that stops them from their movements as well. So there's party shooters, there's demon possessors, MK Ultra, there's all this stuff that they train these people, and all it takes is for them to snap, you know, and they'll do.
Well, he that letteth will let till it be taken out of the way. And until that happens, Satan is on a leash, so to speak. He's not free to do as he pleases. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request tonight? Yes, sir.
My friend John Humbert, he had cancer. He's dying with cancer. He's got about 4 or 5 months ago. He had to get a year to live. And I don't know if he's saved or not. He talked about the Lord, but I don't know if he's saved or not.
Okay, brother. All right. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like the church to pray for my aunt and uncle. My aunt's been getting treatments for esophageal cancer, but she was having trouble breathing today, and her lungs have filled with fluid. but while they were admitting her, her husband got, he was losing, you know, his mind, not his mind, but not processing what was going on, getting disoriented. And he passed out, and they admitted him to the ER, and they did tests on him, and now he's non-responsive. So, just pray for them.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, brother. All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I've talked to her. I haven't talked to her. I've texted her, and she needs prayer. She wants people praying for her, and I told her we'd have people praying for her. Okay. Okay. I'm not sure I know. Okay. I know. I think I know the one you're talking about goes to Carson Newman. I was. Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. Unspoken request? Folks like to come down and pray? Let's have an altar prayer here tonight. Got a lot of heavy burdens and a lot of heavy things to pray about. Just bring them before the Lord. And ask Brother Kuykendall to open us up. And in prayer, and Brother Moore, will you close us in prayer?
So we know it came from Satan. He's had a feeling there, vision. They will keep talking about it. Keep it in the front of it. Well, it's just a plain town. The world is just so evil. Well, we need to be present. He tells us that it's easier than here at this church. Satan hates our church. And liberals hate our church. And I'm sure that not see something that happened down here. But the Lord prayed to have the faith in this year. The Lord had to stir it up for Lord Charles and then the kind of specialist. He's up there with everybody. Each Sunday, Wednesday, he preached at church. And the Lord, I won't care the truth, Lord. They won't care the stuff that kills the deer. Lord, thank you. That was the main effect. The ones that are sick ones tonight, not everybody here. But Lord, most of all, let's have to keep our eyes on you. We're always thankful for all you do for us. May you always care for us and may you protect us. Lord, and for today, open up that sky and call us all home. And we have this evil, this cruel world. Let's have services done up to Sunday. Lord, thank you, open our hearts, help us to pray for that service Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday church morning, and also Sunday night. Let us always lift our pastor, that Lord, just so faithful, look into your word, and to search your word, and to keep us informed in all things that comes to you, and in your word is true. But we got a lot of churches down here that has church, but they don't really know what church is, like a independent center. We pray you help us, Lord, and pray for all our friends, all our family, and our loved ones, especially those we know that are lost. Help us, Lord, be thankful for the blessing to give me, and I've been blessed now and later. And Lord, Jesus, bless us tonight and be safe as we get into our homes. But also, Lord, always keep your mind that we can have a mind on you. Lord, pray you guide us and keep us safe. We thank you for your love and thank you for your son. In his name we pray. Amen.
All right, folks. It's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock Sunday school. And, I forgot, we've got business tonight. My secretary's waving that, so just a minute here. We've got to go into business, and then we'll be done.